Om Shanti. So, as you know, I mean, lately everyone's been trying to get more experiences about the Golden Age, simply because time is moving on, the Confluence Age is moving on. I mean, we can see in the world, you know, there's war between Russia, Ukraine, there's things happening around the world, the climate is changing. It's been 86 years since Baba came, so Golden Age is just around the corner, it's not very far. So it makes sense that we should think about the Golden Age more. We should actually speak about the Golden Age more. Between ourselves as well, we should discuss and just chat, you know, about the Golden Age and what's there. Because, I mean, at the moment I'm working in the art department, and of course I see all the pictures of the Golden Age being printed. And that actually got me thinking, you know, because most of the pictures of the Golden Age are of the palaces and the beautiful grounds and the nature. But, of course, the palaces only belong to, I think, 1% of the population. You know, in the Golden Age, there's like, if there's 100 people in the royal family at the beginning of the Golden Age, and each of those has 1,000 servants, then it's still only 100,000 in the palaces, but there's still 800,000 living their lives in the city, or in the main city in the Golden Age, which of course Baba says is where Delhi is, on the banks of the Jamuna. So it got me thinking, seeing all these pictures, what is life like outside of the palace for the rest of the population? You know, I mean, the everyday population, you know, what's the city like? You know, what is the main market like? You know, because the Golden Age, when we see the pictures, I mean, we just, it's actually quite a narrow view, I think, because a city of nearly 1 million people is actually quite large. I mean, we have cities in Australia that have only 1 million people, and they're still quite big. You know, even though the buildings are tall and everyone's working vertically rather than horizontally, I mean, it's still sort of like a large city with the population living in the suburbs. So in the Golden Age, I mean, the city must also be very large, because we don't build buildings high. We build buildings wide, like large. Has anyone here had visions of the Golden Age? Anyone? No? Well, see, I'm speaking in an English term. A palace is a royal residence. Whereas when Baba means everyone has a palace, it means everyone has a building to live in, you know. Bungalow is a very small term, because Baba says even the lowest subject of the Golden Age has land the size of Mount Abu. And I think Mount Abu is nearly 40 kilometres long by, I think, 20 kilometres, you know, it's quite big. It's hundreds of square kilometres. So even the smallest subject in the Golden Age has hundreds of kilometres of land. So they're building their palace or their home must also be very large, you know. When I came to Baba in 1985, for 2 to 3 years, I had a very extended honeymoon period, and I had a lot of visions because we were having a lot of bhatis at the center. And I had three visions involving the Golden Age, and one of them was standing on a hill overlooking a palace, and this is like maybe Narayan's palace, and it was like huge. It was very, very long. It was like so long, it really surprised me how big it was, you know. But this is not just the building. This is the parks in between, and, you know, courtyards, and, you know, that it's a whole lot of buildings put together with gardens in between. And I remember there was when I came to Madhuban in the late 1980s, out of season, there was only 10 foreigners. And we had a class by one of the daddies, and her name was Devi Daddy, I think. Devta Daddy? She used to spend a lot of time in trance, you know. So her class was on the coronation of Lakshmi and Narayan, and she was there from the beginning of the whole ceremony right through to the coronation, right through to the end. And at the end of her class, I mean, it was a wonderful class. It was really amazing. But at the end of her class, she said that Narayan's palace was 300 kilometers long. And I sort of like, of course, I was only like in my 20s, and I thought, how can that be? You know, it's such a big building. So I asked Sister Shiluben to clarify, you know, what does she mean that it's 300 kilometers long? And Shiluben, of course, Shiluben is very practical and logical. She said, well, it's his personal land, you know, and his residence, basically. So it wasn't just the building, but it was actually, you know, his own sort of personal space, you could call it, I guess, you know, where, of course, he has his own staff and his family living there, you know. But of course, for the rest of the population, you know, there's a big city, you know. And of course, because, like I said, we don't build up, we build out. So things like the main market, if there's a main market, and the main promenade or street, I mean, what are these like? We have no paintings of these, you know. We have no one has drawn or painted anything of the everyday life of the Golden Age, you know. And for me, I try and experience things like this in paintings, old paintings that I see of Bharat from 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Because when the British were here, many British artists came and painted many old pictures of, you know, the countryside with the palaces, you know. And the paintings actually are really, really nice. They give you a good feeling of what even Bharat was like 100 years ago, you know. They're really, really nice paintings. So what I try and do, of course, because I do graphic design and also animation, I try and picture that, but in a Golden Age, you overlay that picture with a Golden Age sort of experience on top of it, you know, that's not just a stone palace, but it's a golden palace, and then all the nature is the green, because the painting itself gives a nice feeling. So if it was like that, overlaid with golden age imagery, it would be even nicer feeling, you know. So I mean, for me, that's how I can experience the Golden Age. I had three visions of the Golden Age, so that was really nice, and they gave me a lesson. Each one was actually a lesson in itself. But to give yourself an experience means to actually actively, it's almost imagine yourself standing there, you know. And I've done this before in Australia. You know, I was standing on, Australia is home to many beaches. Australia is an island surrounded by just white sand and beaches. And there's near the retreat center where I live, there's a beach, and I went down there, and the sun sets on the water, you know. And at the end of the cycle, nature is also very, very nice. I mean, it's really beautiful, so you can imagine what it's like in the Golden Age. And I was standing on this beach, and there were not many people around, and I was talking to Baba, because it was around 7 p.m. So I was talking to Baba and saying, Baba, you know, this is really nice. I mean, this is what nature can do at the end of the cycle when it's at its most impure. That's 5,000 years old. Imagine what it's going to be like. And I'm talking to Baba, imagine what it's going to be like in the Golden Age. And, you know, Baba gave this amazing experience where I was standing on a beach in the Golden Age, and I could see, like, the vibrancy and the color of the matter was so energetic. You know, the matter itself was so pure and alive with energy. But it gave you this amazing feeling, you know, to actually be standing there. And so, I mean, since I had that experience, and that was many, many years ago, I try and do that now whenever I sit in meditation. If I'm sitting outside on a swing or something like that, then I imagine that I'm sitting on a swing or jeweler in the golden age with the nature in front of me, you know. So, I mean, because Baba wants us to experience, you know, what it's like in the golden age, because he keeps saying in the Murali, you know, you have yoga with Mariyajibhav and Manmanabhav and Mariyajibhav, you know, have yoga with the Supreme Father, but also remember the golden age. This is your new home, because we have been here for 5,000 years. So I remember one Murali, Baba called the earth our home, because it's the most time we spend here. You know, we only spend a small amount of time in the soul world and we come back. So most of our existence for eternity is here. Of course, it's a repeating cycle. So we are here naturally, but we are here for the whole 5,000 years. So, excuse me, it's nice to experience and keep remembering where we're actually going. It's like the aim and objective. It's like the destination, if you like. And so lately, because I'm working in the art department, because Brother David is in Australia, I get to see a lot of the golden age, and I start breaking them down, you know, like the palace structure and things like that. I like architecture. I loved traveling around India, walking into palaces and looking at the architecture. I just could do it for hours, no problem whatsoever. So in the golden age, of course, we have all the buildings in the main city, but we don't know what they look like, you know, because Baba says even the paintings that we do is nothing like the golden age looks like. Even Lakshmi and Narayan are nothing like we paint. I mean, it's close, but Baba says it's not accurate, you know, because we can't imagine what it's like, because it's so beautiful. So, I mean, for me, you think about, I started thinking about the everyday life, you know, the big cities, what it's like on the river banks of the Jamuna, what does the population do? And of course, the golden age is a working civilization. It's a working city. Everyone has a role. Everyone actually has a job. You know, what we call jobs, you know, their workplace, you know. But everyone does have a role, because if you think about it, the vimans have to be made. So there's obviously a factory there, you know, a warehouse, a golden warehouse, you know, but a place where the vimans are actually assembled and built, because you can't operate the vimans without science and electronics. So all of that has to be made as well, you know. So these are vehicles being made, you know, and this is the main mode of transport, you know. Because Dadi Gulzar said in a vision she had, her class is really good, she said in a vision her had, of course, there are vimans that are like public transport, they're like buses. So they take a lot of people at once, you know. So the main city will have its own transport system, large vimans to take the population wherever they want to go, you know. So, but we don't hear a lot about this, you know. This is everyday life in the golden age, you know. And like the markets and buying and selling things at the markets, of course, you know, there are tailors, because of course cloth has to be made, you know, clothes have to be stitched, you know, furniture has to be made, so there are furniture makers. So these are the everyday trades and jobs, if you like, that exist in the golden age. And because it's a kingdom, and it's Narayan's kingdom, but it's also a civilization and a working city, you know, and the city works. But nothing is laborious. Everything is easy, you know. And, of course, like Baba says, we buy everything with just gold coins, but it's just token, you know. Everything is done with such love and equality and honesty, you know. There's no cheating or anything like that, of course, not in the golden age. So when I was seeing and thinking about these sorts of things, it got me thinking about, do we really think about, you know, the golden age? But also, do I think about my next birth? Because my next birth is very close, huh? If we think that if Baba has said the age of Brahma is 100 years and it's been 86 years, and there's not long to go, you've got maximum 14 years, you know. Because as Baba says, things will happen suddenly. You know, the world will change suddenly. Nobody expected COVID to come along, and then for 2 years the world changed, you know. So, of course, in the next few years things will change very drastically, and that brings the golden age even closer, you know. So we have to actually think about it even more, you know, because I'm about to take birth in that world. So what will my birth be? And then in meditation, I had a really nice experience once, you know, if you start thinking about your future birth, but where you're taking birth, what the womb is like and what the world is like when you come out, you know, you get a really, really nice feeling, because the memory is already in the soul. We've been there 5,000 years ago, so it's recorded. So that memory is there, but we have to bring it up again. So in yoga, we can actually have that really, really nice experience of putting ourselves back to where we were 5,000 years ago and bring that memory up. And you get a really nice experience. I started practicing this experience during COVID lockdown, because for 2 years I was locked down in Australia. I was due to come back here in March 2020, but then Australia cut all the flights. And so I was sort of locked down at Baba's retreat center, and it's a nice place to be locked down on 20 acres. So I'm not complaining. But like Baba said, it was a really good chance for experimental yoga, you know, because, you know, while you are not busy and you have plenty of time, then experiment in yoga, you know. He said that these scenes in the drama are for your benefit, you know, so you can have time. Because, of course, you know, service takes a lot of our time, and we can get very, very busy. But do we take time out to give ourselves an experience in yoga, you know, to practice that yoga? So this 2 years that I was locked down, or 1.5 years, but with extras on either end, was very, 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 very beneficial for me anyway, to practice that yoga. So I started having 1 hour in the evening and 1 hour in the morning, as Baba said, to do, you know. And doing things like this, experiencing where your next birth is going to be, trying to experience what the golden age is going to be like, but for you, you know, for your life, because you're the one who's going there, and it'll be your life you're living in. Of course, the golden age is for everyone, and it's a very beautiful place. Everything is easy. But what is my life going to be like there, you know? What do I want to do there? It's almost like a career path, if you like. You know, they talk about a career path in the world, you know. What are you thinking of as a career, you know, when you're in high school? For me anyway, in the West, they say you should start thinking about your career, about your future, you know, start thinking about your future, and you're only like 17, 18, so you have to start thinking about your future, you know. So it's the same here, because we are Baba's children, we have to start thinking about our future, you know, more and more, because it's actually very, very close. So for me, I mean, when I go into the golden age, I try and go into subtle details about, you know, what life is like there in terms of, you know, things. Because, how things operate, the systems and customs there, how they operate, because we don't hear so much about that, you know. I mean, many of the classes from Daddy Gulzar, and from her experience seeing the coronation of Lakshmi Narayan was very, very amazing. So, but for me, picturing myself in that environment, it's good to have a picture, and this is why I enjoy working in the art department, you know, because I'm looking at all the different golden age pictures, and there are quite a few artists who have done a lot of different golden age pictures, but they can give you a very, very nice experience. But we have to even go beyond that and find out what our life will be like there, trying to experience, you know, our next birth. So it's a good practice to have in yoga, actually, to do this. The visions I had of the Golden Age were quite interesting, actually. You know, I'm pretty sure it was a palace because it had columns and archways, and there was a girl putting a tray of flowers on a table, but I could see her soul. You know, I could see the soul. It was so clear, you know. And I think this is the vision we have in the Golden Age, because we are like bodiless all the time there, but operating within a body, and the matter is pure. I think we can see the soul. The soul is present, and we know it's there. We can see it there. And I was looking at the soul in this sister putting the tray of flowers there, and I actually recognized the soul from the Confluence Age. So that was, I sort of like got a bit of a surprise there. I said, "I know you," you know, and then it finished, the vision finished. So that was, that to me was a lesson about the vision that everyone has in the Golden Age, that everyone is soul conscious naturally. You know, we don't have to keep practicing. Of course, it's a natural thing. Yeah. So the second vision I had was of a princess. She was leaning down, feeding some small animals, you know, and they were coming to her, you know. And it was really interesting. She looked at me, and I was actually very surprised and taken by surprise by her purity, just the light coming out of her eyes, you know, and the aura surrounding her, you know. So, of course, I mean, it's all remembered throughout the last 2,500 years that holy people have this aura around them. You know, they're painted with an aura around them. So this is the purity of the soul, you know. So that was the lesson of that time. So that was really, really interesting. And the third one was when I was standing on top of the hill looking over at the Golden Age. But for these, I mean, especially the one with the soul conscious, it got me thinking about, you know, all of these things and practices that we do now to make them permanent and to make them natural, you know, so that in the Golden Age, of course, it's natural anyway. Anyone who takes birth there is naturally soul conscious because it's the start of the new world, and we have gone back to soul world and we have come down, so it's our first birth. But of course, we have to practice that now, you know. We have to practice that soul conscious and that sort of divine vision. And so I mean, we can sort of keep ourselves busy in remembering the Golden Age. I mean, we don't do it all the time, but it's nice to actually feel what it's like to be there, feel what it's like to go there, and actually, you know, just sort of think. I mean, churn, Baba says, you know, churn about the beginning. So it's nice to actually do that and have these experiences, because Baba's waiting. I mean, all the daddies, most of the daddies have left, you know, so time is getting close, you know. So, I mean, Baba wants us to go to the subtle regions to have more yoga with him in the subtle regions, because Baba himself, Babdada, have stopped coming. And, of course, this was foretold back in 1988. Who was here in 1988? Anyone here? No, because in 1988, Baba didn't come for a season, huh? Because Daddy Gulzar was sick. So she had been diagnosed with cancer. So Baba cancelled the season in order for Daddy Gulzar to get treatment and recover and get well again. So, but during that time, I remember, because in that time, in 1988, there was only Pandav Bhavan. And during that time, because Baba wasn't coming, everyone still came to Marban, but everyone had to make the effort to go up above, you know, because Babdada is in the subtle regions. So we had to make the effort to go to Baba rather than relying on Baba coming to us, you know, and sitting in front of us. So that was actually a really good practice. And, you know, everyone, even back then in 1988, said they had such an amazing experience because they had to make the effort to go up above. You know, they weren't just relying on sitting in a hall with Baba coming in there and feeling the vibrations, you know. That they had to make the effort to go up above. And of course, Baba gives the return, you know, like Baba says, you take one step towards Baba, Baba will give you, you know, take two steps towards you. So if you make that effort, then Baba will give you a natural return, you know, but we do have to make the effort, you know. And I see this, that, I remember even back then when I was walking across the courtyard in Pandabhavan, I was thinking to myself, this is like foretelling what the future will be, because of course Daddy Gulzar will not be around all the time, you know. So then Bab Dada will stop coming, and of course that is just the reality, you know. These bodies don't last forever, you know. Even in the golden age they don't last forever. So they only last for 150 years, which is pretty good. So of course back then I was thinking, well, then we still have to make the effort to go up above. So now even more so at this time we have to make that effort to go up above. So, but also we have to make the effort to be in happiness, to experience that the new world is coming, you know. So it's good to keep up that practice. I'm sorry, my voice is dying badly. This is actually a physical defect of the throat. I had a throat operation when I was a teenager, so my voice dies very readily. So in the golden age, of course, you know, in everyday life, I mean, like I was saying before, I mean, there are lots of activities, but I always, and I'm going back to the paintings I used to look at, because some of these paintings were everyday life in India like 100 years ago. But it was so, to me anyway, it was so beautiful back then, you know, to look at these paintings and then try and imagine what everyday life in the Golden Age would be like if that scene was put in a golden environment like the Golden Age, with pure nature and, you know, gold and other things and beautiful flowers everywhere and sort of like buildings, things like that. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we can use our imagination, you know, a little bit. I remember Daddy Prakashmani saying that sometimes the imagination can be a bit of a deception, you know, because we can imagine things that aren't really there. But it also can be a benefit, you know. And she was talking about Maya, you know, because of the sanskaras of Maya, sometimes the imagination can create things which, of course, is not really like that, you know. We might blame someone or something happened and automatically because of our sanskaras we have waste thought or we blame others, you know. But the situation actually wasn't like that. But we can use our imagination in a good way if we use Baba's knowledge with it, you know, in order to give ourselves an experience of in yoga as well as what the Golden Age is like. And of course, I mean, Baba has set aside a region in the subtle region, the Vishnupuri, to give us an experience of the Golden Age. And of course, that when the trance messengers go up there, you know, Baba can show them some scenes of the Golden Age, you know, what they're like. You know, Baba's talked about it even in the Sakamuralis, that children used to go there and pick the fruit and sort of like, you know, drink the nectar from the fruit and things like that. So that region is actually there all the time for us to go and have an experience, you know. But how often do we go up into the subtle regions to experience that? I know I haven't, personally, I haven't thought about the subtle regions for a couple of weeks now. So, I mean, it's good to actually know that there is this subtle region that where Bab Dada resides that is there also for the children to use to give yourself an experience, you know, because that's what the subtle regions is for. Baba has said the subtle regions is for you children to experience what it's like. Of course, in Brahmapuri, we have our perfect avyakt image, you know, our body of light, which is, of course, pure white, you know. So that's our perfect body as a Brahman. You know, of course, you know, in the early days when Daddy Gulzar went to trance, she said there was another Brahma up there. Then Brahma Baba asked her to ask him who he was. you know. So, of course, she said, it looks like you, but it's not you, you know. So, obviously, that Brahma was 30-something years into the future of what Brahma Baba would become. So all of our light bodies, all of our perfect forms are there as well. And of course, in the next level, in the Vishnupuri, we can experience what our deity form is like as well, because that's what that region is for. It's to experience what the Golden Age is like. You know, trance messengers can go there, but we can also get a nice experience. Baba has said, you know, in Avyakta Murlis, there was a very beautiful Murlis about the five forms, Baba, and one of the forms, of course, was our deity body, what our first birth in the Golden Age is like, and to experience that, and do I practice what it feels like being in a deity body, you know, what it feels like to put myself in that perfect form, and this is my first form for the whole cycle. You know, this is my first body for the whole cycle, so what is it going to be like, you know? So what is the stage like? So that the subtle regions and the Vishnupuri is designed, actually, if you think about it, it is designed to give us an experience, because Baba said this is our playground. So we need to actually use the playground. It's like having outdoor gym. There's no use having an outdoor gym if you don't use it. You know, so in the same way, the subtle regions is there for all the children to use. It's not just for trance messengers to get a message from Baba. It's for all of us to use, you know. And of course, above that is the Shankarpuri. And this is for very, very deep meditation. This is for deep yoga. This is the silence. This is the tapasya that we have to do in order to experience not only the future, but our perfect form. So, I mean, because time is short, we really need to think about these things more, but of course, we do get busy a lot, you know, so when do we think about it? You know, when do we experience this? And this is why Baba puts aside meditation in the morning and meditation in the evening, you know, for us to sit, stop, clear our mind, relax and experience, you know. It's and I remember one Murli, he said, the evening meditation is only second to Amrit Vela, you know. So it's very, very important, the evening meditation. And of course, when the COVID hit, he said 1 hour in the evening, you know. So that's why meditation, many are sitting, I see many sitting in Baba's room at 6:30, which is great, you know. And I stop from the art department at 6:30 and usually just sit and have yoga with Baba, and then either do world service or just think, you know, just churn about what's coming, you know. So these times are for us to try and experience what yoga is like, because we really do have to put aside time to experience this yoga. We can't be busy all the time, because then we don't get any experience. We don't get any sustenance or happiness inside, you know. Because the yoga is the sustenance, the yoga with Baba, and the experiences that we get from Baba is the sustenance in our Brahman life, you know. Service can sustain us, but not all the time, you know. And if we rely upon service as a sustaining vehicle, you know, for our Brahman life to continue, you know, you need that yoga as well. There needs to be a balance, you know. Baba has always said, there's a balance of service and self-service. So that self-service is to put myself into meditation and into tapasya and try and experience all these things, you know, experience the world that is coming. So, of course, in the Golden Age, I mean, I might sort of like put out there if anyone's got sort of any experiences that they've had or questions about the Golden Age. I mean, does anyone think about the Golden Age much? Anyone? Anyone think about the Golden Age much?
Thank you.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah. So have you seen that, or do you experience that when you sit in meditation? You can sort of see it in your mind. Yeah, yeah. Experience more of those things, yeah. So, I mean, these sorts of things we need to experience more simply because the time is very close. I mean, time is moving very, very fast. It's already the end of November 2022. You know, 2023 is just near. Okay, and the earthquake, yes. Yeah. That power has finished, yes. I don't know if you got the translation for that. Sorry, no, I couldn't hear. She had this vision of it was the end of Treta Yuga, and there was a huge earthquake, and she saw all the deities, like princes and princesses. Yeah, the deities, they're actually being swallowed by the earthquake. There were many earthquakes, and a lot of deities were actually, well, you could say, dying in the earthquake. And she was saying that you could see the deities were trying to leave the body, because in the golden age you could leave your body at will. You knew your time was up, that you could leave and take birth in the next birth. But by the end of the silver age, that power has finished. So they were trying to leave the body, but they couldn't. So obviously they left their body, like, they were forced to leave their body by the accident. You were there in that vision also. So you were there trying to leave your body also. So, okay, yeah. Because we know, of course, at the end of the Silver Age, there is a big destruction, you know, that the confluence between the Silver and the Copper Age is also 100 years, Baba has said. You know, so this is a big time for the earth to change. And the earth changes very, very massively. Because if you think about it, after 2,500 years, the kingdom has grown to many places around the world, you know, on the planet, by the end of the Silver Age. You have these civilizations coming up that are the start of the Egyptians, are the start of the Mayans, are the start of the Chinese, are the start of the Persians, are the start of the Middle Eastern. You know, all of these starts are there, like the Greeks, you know, because they all record this big upheaval. All of these civilizations record this big upheaval where the earth completely was almost destroyed, you know. So at the end of the Silver Age, it takes 100 years to completely bury the entire kingdom, you know, because it was extensively throughout the whole world. After 2,500 years, no natural calamities, no sort of like untimely death, no wars. So the forest, the earth, the civilization had grown so much, you know, to different parts of the world. So, of course, there's always the core civilization that is Bharat, that is always here, because Bharat is the eternal land. It has been here since the beginning and it will be here till the end, you know. So this always remains, but by the end of the Silver Age, it had spread to different parts of the planet. But, of course, the planet went through such massive upheaval that it tilted, you know. So many ancient civilizations talk about the planet stopped rotating for 7 days. And if the planet stops rotating for 7 days, it puts a massive stress on the shell of the planet, the crust. And so the crust would crack and then volcanoes would explode, you know, and start burying everything in earthquakes, which is what you sort of like saw, you know. So this upheaval has to last for like almost 100 years. And of course they realize that, you know, things are going wrong. And that's of course when we start bhakti, because we're calling out to the Father, okay, what have we done? We've fallen so much, you know. And it's in literature. It's in even modern literature. I was reading one story by a Russian author, and he talks about heaven and the great fall, where the people of heaven, you know, these divine beings, they fell because of vice. And he's talking about this. This is, his name is Dostoevsky, I think, as a Russian author. He's a very well-known Russian writer from, I think, 1800s, maybe 19th century. And but he wrote this story called The Dream of a Ridiculous Man. I'm not sure if you can translate that. But in it, he had this dream of heaven, of paradise, where he talked about the humans being so divine, so full of virtue, so loving, that even the animals were loving and didn't want to harm them. You know, that everything, nature was beautiful and pure and vibrant and so much energy and so much love from everyone, you know, unconditional, you know. So he wrote about this more than 100 years ago. You know, this is, he must have had a vision or some sort of experience. So, I mean, but of course, all of that comes to an end at the end of the Silver Age in this big catastrophe, you know. But by the end of the Silver Age, the civilization had expanded to many other parts, you know, of the globe. And of course, like Baba says, even from the time of the first Narayan to the second Narayan, even to the last Narayan in the Golden Age, you know, each kingdom changes slightly. The customs and systems change. Maybe even the look changes. And maybe, I don't know if the language would slightly change, you know. I think if they moved outside of Bharat, like if the kingdom into the Silver Age, maybe the middle of the Silver Age, if the kingdom expanded outside of Bharat, the languages would start to differ, you know. Because, of course, even in India, we know there are so many languages in India. Each state has its own language. So each state is like its own country with its own language. So in the Golden Age also, it starts off in unity as one, but by the end of the Silver Age, it's all fractured to many different civilizations, you know. And there was still technology at the end of the Silver Age, you know, that was there, because we know that from many ancient civilizations that they uncover around the world, in both Egypt, South America, here in India, Mohenjo-Daro and Pakistan, they were all built using amazing engineering, you know, and they had to be built with technology, because even the things that were built, even modern machinery couldn't lift these things into place, you know. So they would have had to have had even technology right at the end of the Silver Age. So, I mean, there was a lot of things going on by the end of the Silver Age, many, many different kingdoms. And, of course, this leads to disunity and, of course, war, you know, things like that. Of course, early Copper Age, we know there's a lot of war. But, I mean, all of this... I've done a lot of reading about different mysteries that they find around the world, you know, that point to a past civilization, a technologically advanced and unified civilization, you know, that used to exist around the world. And many people believe this actually existed, you know, because the evidence is there. But of course, modern scientists and historians sort of like don't do that, because the humans were archaic. They were a backward, you know, and we developed a technology in the last, you know, 2,500 years, or even in the last 200, 300 years, you know. They don't think we had technology like 2,500, even 5,000 years ago, you know, because their whole history, of course, is incorrect. You know, so I mean, for us, it means that, you know, experiences like this, we should try and have more of them, you know, as we move along, because, like I said, you know, 2023 is just very close. So time is even moving faster, and we don't know what's going to happen in 2023, you know, where the world is going to turn, because we have these events that happen in the world which turn the drama in a certain direction, like COVID. Nobody thought about this and where it could lead to and what would happen to the world and what did happen to the world, you know. Nobody thought, so that was a sudden thing. So in the same way, you know, you have these events that happen in the drama which could lead to the drama steering off into a direction nobody really thought to see coming, you know. And Baba has said, you know, things that you would not normally think about will happen, you know, suddenly happen, you without you expecting it. Yeah. So we can see the sister saying that, you know, next year things might actually happen that again force us into having more yoga, you know, having that tapasya, because we're still not doing enough of it, you know. I mean, the new world is coming, but still we're not having this tapasya that we should be having, these experiences and this yoga with Baba, you know, in order to change ourselves. But the world is changing. We don't want to be left behind in our efforts, you know, so we should actually make time, you know, because, again, we don't know what's coming up in the drama. So these things we have to really take care of, our experiences of the Golden Age and what we need to do, you know, what we need to do in order to increase our yoga with Baba, our link with Baba, because it's only our link with Baba that will save us in difficult times, you know. Otherwise, you know, things are going to get into a lot of trouble. We need that yoga power in order to think clearly and see clearly what the solutions to any problems that come along, you know. So we need this sort of yoga power because this is also yoga power for the future, you know. We'll be using this. There's no problems in the Golden Age. So that's a long knife. The deities are naturally blissful. Yeah, they don't need to make effort to be blissful. We have to make effort to be happy here in this world. Yeah. Well, Baba's always said he's the ocean of bliss, huh? So the deities are naturally blissful. Yeah. But of course, they're also very sensible, you know. They don't walk around sort of like some, yeah. So, I mean, this is a very nice experience that you said. I don't know if, did you pick it up? Okay. Yeah, so these sorts of experiences, but you demanded it from Baba and Baba showed you, huh? So, so I mean, that just made me think of, you know, Baba has said in Avyaktam early is that, you know, it's our birthright to get these experiences from Baba, but we actually don't use our birthright, you know. We don't use our birthright enough, you know, to get these experiences. Baba's waiting to give us an experience, but we don't. Ah, yes. So you have to ask Baba, each of you have to demand Baba, I want to see my perfect form, I want to see my deity stage, I want to see heaven. Yeah, you demand it from Baba. He's there to give us everything we want, pure wise. Not impure wise. So this sort of like effort we have to make, I think it's nearly 12 o'clock. Any other sort of like experiences or questions or anything? I mean, it's a really nice topic. It's really a topic for discussion. I mean, you know, because... Pushback Veeman?
Yeah.
I didn't, but I was... Pushpak Veeman's an interest to me simply because this life is a very funny life for me, because I was born at a top secret military base in the Australian desert. I was born at a weapons research facility. It's a top secret base. They have a hospital there. My father was working, Lockheed's father was working on the base, and my Lockheed mother was also, she was a civilian working on the base. And the British did their nuclear testing very close by. They were letting off nuclear bombs and monitoring them. But this top secret base was it's a weapons and aircraft, top secret aircraft testing facility, you know. So ever since, because I was born there, so ever since there, I grew up in military bases, because my father was in the military for a long time. So even I joined the military for 2 years in the Air Force, and so did my brother. So the whole family, the males, were in the military. So this interest, and we saw footage, you know, back then we saw footage of this aircraft that is in secret that they have now, that no one really realizes what they have. They have the Vimana technology now. It's just in secret, that's all. Everything you see is just standard, not really advanced technology, you know, the aircraft, the jet engines, pollute, noisy, but the Vimana stuff they already have, you know, and these are the things they see. You see reports of UFOs, you know, things like, I don't know if you know what a UFO is, an unidentified flying object. Commercial pilots in planes sometimes see these things flying through the air at very high speed. It's like it defies the law of gravity. You know, because they stop suddenly, then they take off in another direction and go very quickly, almost like supersonic speed, but without any noise. And these are seen very regularly around the world, you know. So this is the Vimana technology, but in secret, you know. So apparently at the end, this has to come out, you know. So it might be some interesting things ahead.
So right now we are at the situation where they have found a car, they just know they don't need a body to operate the car. So same way they can just do for the airplane, that you don't need body to operate the airplane, and then we never.
Well, I've often thought about the Vimans, because, you know, of course Baba has said that we can travel from one side of the planet to the other side of the planet in less than a telephone call. Okay, so, I mean, this is very quick. I mean, the planet is quite large. I mean, it's 10,000 kilometers just to Australia from India, you know, so to go to the other side of the planet is quite long, you know, but to get there in less than a telephone call, in the normal way, this is in the normal way of the technology they have now, your body would completely collapse. You know, all your organs would collapse because there's something in physics called inertia. You know, as you move forward faster, your body gets pushed back more. So all your organs get compressed, you know, so they basically turn to mush. So there's something, some other technology with the Vimans where we can transport ourselves from this place to this place very quickly without the body being affected. And there, we're actually seeing this in the UFO, sorry, in the UFOs that they see, these commercial pilots see and that people see, is that they stay there very still, then they take off in high speed, just like that, straight out, you know, super fast, you know. But obviously there's someone inside. They're not getting affected by the speed. So obviously they have this anti-gravity technology that we're going to have in the Golden Age. They have it now, you know. We still obey the laws of physics in the Golden Age. You know, you throw something up in the Golden Age, it still drops on the ground. So the Veman technology is quite interesting also, because I was thinking, you know, because when I was looking at the pictures in the Golden Age, you know, even if you fly a Veman slowly, you know, across the sky, because I ride a motorbike, even if you're going only 30 kilometers an hour, you're getting wind, because you're moving through air, you know. So in the Vemans, there must be some invisible shield there to stop the deities. being buffeted by air, you know, because it's a natural physics thing that if you move through air, you get wind on your face, you know, even at 30 kilometers an hour, which is very slow, you'll get wind on your face. If you go 60 to an 80, and I recently traveled from Udaipur to here on a motorcycle, I was doing 80 kilometers an hour, and that was like, you know, that is a lot of wind on your face, you know. So, of course, we're sitting in the Viman. There's no wind that affects the deities. So, obviously, there's some invisible shield there to protect you from sort of like the air or the elements. So, it's interesting anyway. To what's it called? That is, that's about, yes, but they also talk about a flat earth theory, so you don't get, because the earth is not flat, huh? It's a ball rotating. There's nothing in Paramdham except light. There's no ether or air or anything in Paramdham. It's spiritual light. There's no physical elements there. There's no physical elements in the soul world. Yeah, but that's one of the five elements, huh? That's one of the five elements. Earth, water, fire, and ether. Ether. Anyway, yeah, so the soul world is just element of light, yeah. All I know is that India remembers Vimanas because there's something called the Vimana Shastra here in India, huh? Have you seen that? That's actually like a that's like a scripture of Vimanas, how to fly Vimanas, how to land Vimanas, all its instructions on all about the Vimanas. And there's a book I've got written by one Westerner, and it's called the Vimana Shastra, the Vimanas of Ancient India, you know. And this is written by a Westerner because, you know, this scripture was written about Vimanas, all about it explains all about Vimanas in it. So that was written a long time ago, but it explains about Vimanas. So anyway, it's all there. So I think we have to sort of pack up. Anything else? Well, anyone else want to? Any experiences? Any visions? No. The Golden Age? Anyway, so in summary, I mean, it's good to put time aside to give ourselves an experience and demand from Baba a good experience for the Golden Age. But we have to make the effort. I mean, we do have to put aside the time and make the effort for yoga. I mean, that's the bottom line in the effort making for the next sort of like in few years until the drama sort of like shows what it's going to do. I mean, the drama will turn at any time. Even now, prices are increasing. Food is running short in many places. You know, even water is running short in many places because the weather is changing. The crops are dying, so slowly, slowly, everything is becoming more severe. So we really need that yoga power. So we should put aside some time. Om Shanti.